If you have your Bibles, won't you turn with me to Exodus chapter 12? We started a little mini-series last week called The Precious Blood of Christ, and we want to continue with that this morning as well as we just get ready for the year and we come to God's Word. And so we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 14 again. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your Word this morning, and we pray that you would speak to us again today. We pray, Lord, week by week, day by day, you would open your word to us. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. So let's read together Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to just look at this passage where, as I said last week, the Israelites had been in Egypt in captivity for 430 years, and they cried out to God, and God raised up Moses as a deliverer, and He visited the land with judgments. There were 10 plagues. And we hear at Exodus chapter 12, the last of the plagues is God brings the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land. And we want to apply this passage to our own lives this year as we journey into 2015 and see all that God has for us this year as well. So it says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of people, according to what each one can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male 1 year old. And you must take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. And then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. And in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all generations, throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." Amen. And so we were saying last week that this Passover festival is really at the very center of Israel's history as a nation. They look back and remember this Passover when God delivered them out of the land of Egypt. And Jesus has become our Passover lamb. He's the one that was slain at the Passover, and his blood was shed to set us free and deliver us from slavery and bondage. And so the cross of Jesus Christ is at the very center of the gospel story, and at the very center of what it means to be a Christian. And we were looking at that last week. We were saying last week that this was all part of our rediscovery of the gospel as a church and presenting of Christ every week, presenting of Jesus. And we saw last week that as God prepared the Israelites for deliverance, we saw that the blood was first of all for God to see. When God sees the blood, he is satisfied. Hallelujah. We saw secondly that the lamb was inspected. God said, "I want the lamb to be perfect and without blemish." And when the lamb is perfect, God is pleased with a perfect lamb. Jesus was our perfect sacrifice. We saw also that the blood of the lamb provides atonement by way of a substitute, where our sins are covered over by the blood of the lamb. But we need to receive the blood and apply it in faith. And we saw that the Israelites had to take the blood and put it on their doorposts and shelter inside their houses for the angel of death to pass over. And friends, we see here that these plagues in Egypt are really pointing. So many of these stories in the Old Testament are pointing to Christ, pointing to Jesus. These plagues are pointing to what happened to Jesus on the cross. Just in Egypt, as the river Nile flowed with blood, one of the plagues, so on the cross, Jesus' blood flowed. Just as Jesus' own blood flowed off the cross. In Egypt, the firstborn died in every household. And we find on the cross, God's firstborn son died as well. In Egypt, there was darkness over all the land as one of the plagues, pointing to the darkness that came over the whole land when Jesus died upon the cross. Jesus died in darkness. Most of it took place in real darkness as the judgment of God descended. And so these plagues point to what Jesus has done for us. And we celebrate what Jesus has done upon the cross. But this week, we want to move ahead and look at their journey out of Egypt and what happened on the journey into the promised land and how we can apply that to our own lives today. And so I want to talk to you about four things today from Exodus chapter 12. My first point is this, that the blood of Jesus, when you get saved, the blood of Jesus gets you moving. It gets you moving. God gets you moving. God is a God on the move. Once the lamb died, they rushed out of Egypt. In fact, the Egyptians said, please, will you go? We don't want you here anymore. And they got moving. Before then, they couldn't get out. Once the blood was shed, they rushed out of Egypt. And they began a journey with God through the wilderness and into the promised land to lay hold of their inheritance. When you become a Christian, God takes hold of your life and you begin a journey with God. God takes you somewhere. We begin to journey with God. We begin to journey with Jesus. And as a church in this city, we are on a journey. God has been taking us on a journey. And this is our latest destination, as it were. And so when you get saved, friends, when you become a Christian, you don't just wander around aimlessly. But God steps into your life and He begins to lead you. Can you identify with that? God begins to take over and lead you and guide you. And we join His mission. He doesn't join our mission, we join His mission. We get onto God's mission and He begins to lead us and guide us into all He has for us. And when you get saved, it's like you're a new creation and you've crossed the Red Sea, you've left Egypt, you stand on the banks of the promised land, and God has fresh assignments for us, fresh things for us to do. The enemy has been dealt with. The enemy's been buried in the sea, as we see what happened with the Egyptians as well. God leads us into fresh things. He leads us forward, and we leave the old behind, and we begin new things with God as Christians, because the new life is none other than a new creation. And God begins to then take over, and He begins to give us new assignments, and He begins to speak to us, and He begins to lead us by His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so we find that's what happened to Moses. It says Moses kept the Passover, they crossed over the Red Sea, they followed the cloud of God and the pillar of fire, and they entered into the promised land. And it's a picture of what happens in the Christian life. In 1 Corinthians, it says these are pictures of what it's like to be a Christian. God takes us when He saves us. He pulls us out of Egypt. He pulls us out of the world. Later, He sends us back, but initially, He pulls us out. And then we pass through the water of baptism where we identify and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. A picture of the Red Sea, and we get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the picture of the cloud. And then we join the church. We're part of the people of God. And God begins to give us assignments. And so, friends, what I want you to see this morning is that Christianity is a movement. It's something that's moving. God is on the move. Faith is an action word. We are saved by faith, not works. But it's a faith that leads to works. If you're a Christian, you're not a settler. You're not a settler. You're a pioneer, pioneering things for God. And so if you look at these few verses in chapter 12, in verse 11, he says, you must eat it with your belt fastened, with sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, and eat it in haste. In other words, have clothes, be dressed ready for action. Be ready for travel. In verse 37, it says the people of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth. In chapter 13, verse 21, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and at night with a pillar of fire so that they may travel by day or by night. And so, friends, Christianity is a moving thing. When they come to the Red Sea, Moses starts praying. The Egyptian army are thundering behind them. The Red Sea is in front of them. He says, Lord, what must I do? God says to him, Moses, stop crying. Get the people to move forward. Get them to step into the Red Sea and it'll part. It'll open up. And so, friends, Christianity is a moving thing. When you get saved, God steps into your life and he catches you up into something far bigger and far greater than you are. And even today, Jesus is on the move all over the world. God is on the move. Christianity is a moving thing. Jesus is building his church. And you have a particular part to play, and I have a particular part to play in that together. We're on a journey, not as slaves any longer, but as sons, learning lessons from passages like this Exodus passage. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, because we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Hallelujah. Keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. And so God has given us a race to run. God has given you a race to run. A particular race to run in the Christian life. There's our race and there's your race as well that has been mapped out for us. And God has spoken to us prophetically as a church as well about movement and about increase and about enlargement. To advance the gospel in our city. God is a God of increase. In Exodus chapter 1, there were about 70 people that arrived in Egypt. There was Joseph and Jacob, his father, and his 11 brothers with their wives. They arrived in Egypt. It says there were 70 of them. 430 years later, 600,000 men besides women and children left Egypt. So that was a population three times the size of Pietermaritzburg. Marching down the N3 on the way to Durban. Can you imagine that? Three times the size. Can you imagine three Pietermaritzburgs leaving this city, getting on the N3 and walking towards Durban? And Moses is doing his best to lead this bunch. Can you imagine the amount of people, plus animals and livestock and cattle and sheep and people and old people and young people and babies traveling down towards the sea with the Egyptian army behind them? But God is a God of movement. And God has been on the move with us as a people as well over the past 7 years as we've discovered more and more of the gospel, as we've geared up for mission. God has given us this place as a base for operation. You can call it the Pelham base or Grace Gen base. But this place has become for us a base for operation because God has fresh things for us to do. So we want to reach our city, but we also want to send people out. And so we find when Paul and Shannon left us, they folk that were with us, they went to Harding, they went to plant a church in Harding. They are now moving down to the Eastern Cape, and we were able to send Leon and Chanel, which was another couple, to take over the church, to release them to go down to the Eastern Cape and help plant churches. We have got Masala and Makosi that are arriving in Maritzburg, even as we speak. I helped them unpack boxes last night. So my back's a bit out of joint. And they are moving from Newcastle to be part of what God is doing in Grace Gen. Makosi's resigned from her job. She's coming to be part of things here. And I really believe they're going to make such an impact as well. He's going to continue to keep an eye on his church in Newcastle. But they're coming to be with us as well. God is going to add people to us over the next weeks and months because we're on a mission, because God has got things for us to do. God's going to add fresh folk, even new folk with us this morning. God's going to add folk to us as well. And we celebrate in that as well. God is adding folk. God is getting us ready for movement. God is moving amongst us. And friends, there's great wisdom in keeping moving forward in life. There's great wisdom in keeping your eyes on God and keeping moving forward. It's much more difficult to push a stationary car than a car that's on the move. And it's the same in the Christian life as well. God loves it when we get on the move with him, when we just get moving forward with God. And sometimes if you stop moving, you stop growing and you get left behind. And so I really would encourage us this year that you find your place this year as we move forward with God, that you find your place in the journey and you will see miracles happen. The Israelites heard miracles as they responded to God and they moved forward with God. They slaughtered the lamb. They applied the blood. They were dressed for battle, for marching. They went through the Red Sea. And as they moved, God began to do things amongst them. And if you look back over the last few years, just look at what God has done in your life. Just look at what God has done for us in just a short space of time. A year ago, we were not even aware we were going to be in this place. And within a year, God moved. Just think about where you were in January 2014. Think about where you were in January 2010, four years ago. Think about where you were in 1994, 20 years ago. Where were you 20 years ago? Think about it. Just think about it. Where were you? How old were you? We won't ask that. But where were you 20 years ago, 1994, the dawn of the new South African democracy? And look over those last 20 years, which is nothing really, what God has done in your life. The things God has done in your family. What God has done with you and for you in that time. It's just amazing. And how God has moved you on. And how the gospel has changed you. How many here have felt God has changed them just a little bit in the last 20 years? Amen. That's what God does for us. He changes us and He moves us. And He's at work in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is shaping us. He's transforming us from one degree of glory to another. And you sometimes only realize that when you look back. Or you meet someone that, you know, we lived in the Cape for many years. You meet someone from the Cape and you think, geez, I did live in the Cape and I remember. And all that God has done in one's life, it's just amazing. And you will find that God will also supply your needs as you give yourself to His mission. Let's just look at that passage in chapter 12 again. Let's just go there. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 35. It says, the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they wanted, and thus they plundered the Egyptians. And God had promised that that was going to happen. And so what was this? This was their back pay for slavery. This was their back pay. Back pay is very biblical. Go to your boss, you say, I need some back pay. There it is in the Bible. And they plundered the Egyptians, and the Egyptians paid them for 430 years when they were slaves. And they took out of Egypt great wealth. But it happened, I want you to see, in the context of movement. They were on the move. They were being obedient to God. Paul says in Philippians, my God will supply all your needs in Christ Jesus, in the mission of the gospel. As you get moving for God and you have needs, Paul says, I left Macedonia, the Philippian church came to his aid. Financially. As you get moving with God, as you get moving with the gospel, God will supply all your needs. And He catches us up in a far bigger gospel story. So I'm no longer just running my little race, but I'm part of a bigger picture. I have a sense of destiny. Paul calls it the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Our lives are not vertical. Our lives are not cyclical. We're not going around in circles. Our lives are vertical, aimed at God, and God is taking us somewhere. We have a phenomenon in the world today where so many young Muslim men are giving themselves into this extremist army called the Islamic State because they're disillusioned. There's a story on Sky News about a father, Dmitry Bontenek, and he goes to look for his son because his son goes off to Syria. And he goes to find his son and he goes through all the camps and he eventually finds his son and he brings his son out of there and he brings his son home. And a lot of young men that are just disillusioned, they think, well, I've got nothing to live for. Let me give myself to this. There was a friend of ours who was a teacher in a school in Pietermaritzburg the other day, asking the kids, what do you want to do when you grow up? The one young guy said, I want to be a suicide bomber. Little kid. And friends, that's not to shock you, but to make you realize that Christianity is wonderful because when we get saved, God catches you up in something that's fantastic. He catches you up in something great. He's not just here to bless us, but He's here to catch us up in what He is doing. And part of it is to get on the move with God. And that's what happened here with the Israelites. They spent a time in Egypt, but then God said, now, this month, today, I'm releasing you. I'm moving you on. And I've sensed that's what God's saying to us as a church. That this place is a base for operation. God is getting us ready for movement. He's getting us ready for travel. He's getting us ready to reach the city. He's getting us ready in all kinds of ways. So when you become a Christian, the blood of Jesus gets you moving. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited about that? It's just wonderful. But secondly, I want you to see that part of that journey and part of that movement is you also have to feed on the Lamb. You have to stop and rest and feed on the Lamb as well. And the same lamb that they slaughtered, they had to eat. He said, you need to feed on the lamb. So the same lamb that delivered them from slavery provided nourishment for the journey. They had to feed on the lamb. And so often the Bible tells us that if you're hungry, feast on Jesus. If you're thirsty, Jesus said, come to me and drink. Hallelujah. And so I would encourage you this year, as I'm speaking to myself, that we keep our eyes on Jesus in 2015. That we learn to fix our eyes on Him as we run this race. Looking unto Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Why did the Israelites leave Egypt anyway? Does anyone know? Why did they leave Egypt anyway? They went to worship God. They said, we just want to go and worship God in the desert. Just turn with me to Exodus chapter 5. Let's just have a look there together. Exodus chapter 5. Moses goes to Pharaoh right at the beginning, before all the drama took place. And he says to Pharaoh, Exodus 5. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and they said, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness, that may worship me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord. And so verse 6, the same day, look at that. Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce them, for they are idle because they want to go and worship the Lord. Okay. And so I want you to notice here from this passage, friends, that what does Pharaoh do when they talk about worship? When they talk about feasting, what does he do? He increases their workload. He increases their busyness. And that's exactly what's happening today. We're all living busy lives. We're busy at work, busy with our jobs. But so often, it's busyness that eats into our worship, doesn't it? It eats into our time with the Lord. And so I would encourage you this year, as you begin this year, perhaps you've gone back to work already, or you're about to, just look at your timetable, look at your spiritual diet this year, and make choices this year about workload and worship in 2015. Don't have all your time just making bricks for Pharaoh. Sometimes put down your trowel and your wheelbarrow and say, this is time for worship. This is time to spend time with the Lord. Make time for Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Let Him lead you this year. Let God lead you by the Holy Spirit. Keep your eyes on the cloud of God. Keep your eyes on the Spirit of God, on the presence of God. Practice the presence of God as you start every day. Say, Lord Jesus, before I go today to work, before I begin today at home, I want to know your presence. I want to feast on you, Lord Jesus. Frank Laubach says this, practicing the presence of God daily is seeing Jesus with the eyes of our heart. He says, every morning I wake up, I compel my mind to open up straight towards God. I wait and listen with determined sensitiveness. I fix my attention there. And sometimes it requires a long time early in the morning. I'm determined not to get out of bed until my mindset upon the Lord is settled. That's what he says. So I just encourage you this year. I know we've lived busy lives. I know we've got lots on the go. I do too. But we must make time to feast on the Lamb. We must make time for worship. We must look at our daily and weekly time with Jesus and feast on Him, because He gives strength for the journey ahead. Hallelujah. And some stuff may have to be left behind on the journey. We find the Israelites, they were dressed ready to leave, and they had to travel light. They had to take unleavened bread with them. They had to cook bread that could be cooked and baked in a hurry. And it's a picture of the fact that we're not supposed to hang around in Egypt for long. Leaven in the Bible is generally a symbol of impurity. And God says to the Israelites, I want you to bake unleavened bread. Bread that's not risen. It's pretty flat. And I want you to take it with you on the journey. And it's a sign that God is dealing with stuff in their lives. In 1 Corinthians 5, it says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And so, friends, it takes faith to lay hold of stuff for God, but it also takes faith to let go of stuff. And as we look at the beginning of this year, I would encourage you, look in your own life and say, Lord, are there things I need to let go of this year? Are there some things I need to let go of this year? Are there some sin issues in my life, some Egyptian fantasies that I need to leave behind in Egypt? Are there some idols in my life, sinful things in my life that I need to let go of this year? It's always good to look at that. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions because they don't always work, but it's good to look over your life. And at the beginning of the year, Shannon and I sat down together. We spoke about our marriage. We spoke about the year, and we said, what needs to change this year? About the way we live, about the way we, in our marriage, in our own lives. And I said to Shannon, where do I need to change? And she took a deep breath, and she told me. And we were able to speak about that together. It was really helpful. And I would encourage you to do the same. It's still early enough. And sometimes as you begin a new year, you look back and you say, what do I need to leave behind for this year? What's kind of got in the way? What's going to affect my journey? And some of the stuff may just be plain sin. It may be stuff that you need to repent of and let go of. There are two types of repentance. There's believing repentance when you first get saved, but then we live a life of repentance. We need to just look at our lives and just, we didn't go anywhere on New Year's Eve this year. I said to Shannon, let's just stay at home. And let's just pray and look over our lives as we begin this new year. And we did that. And it was just one of the richest evenings I've had in a very long time. And we were able to just look and say, for the journey this year, what do we need to leave behind? And I would ask you as well this morning, as you look over your life, make some time. Maybe this afternoon, tonight, this week. As we pray and fast, just come to God and saying, Lord, what do I need to leave behind? And it might be sinful stuff. It might be simple stuff. It might not be sinful. It might just be other stuff you need to leave behind. Paul says in Philippians, he says, I've suffered the loss of all things that I may gain Christ, even good things. He suffered the loss of his reputation and his background and his education. He says, I've let go of stuff in order to lay hold of Christ. Hallelujah. And I would encourage you to look at that as well. To look at various things this year. And what about your time this year? Say, Lord, I want to give my time to you this year. If you look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, isn't it interesting? He says right in the beginning, he says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. So God stepped in and he said, I want this month to be different for you. I want you to do this and this this month. And so as we begin this year, we need to have our ears open to God. God may say to you, I want you to do this this month. And next week I want you to do this. And today I want you to do this because my times are in his hands now. And I want him to direct my life. And maybe a simple thing like your time or your possessions and your stuff. When your focus is on the journey, it affects the way you look at your current situation, your possessions, your stuff, your life. Jim Elliot said, who was a martyr that was martyred in Ecuador, he said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Just look over your life and your stuff. Say, well, do we need all this stuff? As we go forward this year. Hallelujah. The most important thing to leave behind is your old self behind. So Lord, I just want to leave my old self behind this year. I want the new self to go into this year. And so sometimes we have to leave stuff behind, and other times we have to choose things. We have to lay hold of things. Moses chose some stuff. He chose God. He chose future destiny over present pleasures. He endured because he saw him who is invisible. He chose the people of God. He decided to move on with others. He came in from the desert. He was in the desert. He was enjoying his life, but he said, I'm going to reconnect with the people of God. And I'm going to journey with them together. Hallelujah. We're going to start this series on the bride. Friends, this city is full of de-churched and unchurched Christians. Unchurched people and de-churched Christians. And it really pains me because God has called us together to be part of the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. And to journey together. And Moses did that. He connected with the people of God. And finally, he chose to use his gifts for God. And we find as they moved, there was children's ministry, the kids were part of it, there was agriculture, there was worship, When they get on the other side of the Red Sea, Miriam pops up and she starts prophesying. She was a prophetess. You think, how did she become a prophetess? Well, she became a prophetess because they were on the move. And as they moved, these gifts came to light. And so I'd encourage you this year, what are you good at? What are your gifts? Use them for the glory of God. Use them in the journey. God has got stuff for us to do this year, both within this base and beyond the base, as we seek to change this nation with the gospel. Hallelujah. We live, friends, with a progressive revelation concerning Jesus. In Genesis, the lamb was slain for an individual, for Abraham. He found him in the thicket. He said, "Well, slay the lamb and release your son." In Exodus, the lamb was slain for the family. He said, "Take a household and slay the lamb and hide in the house and you'll be saved." In Leviticus, they celebrated the Passover for the nation. And friends, in the New Testament, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world." And we have a message not just for individuals or families or nations. We have a message for the whole world. We know the Lamb who takes away the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. And I would encourage you this morning, join us in this journey. Let the blood of Jesus get us moving this year. Hallelujah. Let's learn to feed on the Lamb this year. Look at your spiritual diet this year. Say, "Lord, I'm going to feed on you. I'm going to feast on you." Hallelujah. Benson and I have been using Spurgeon Daily Devotions, an app on our phone, for years. You know that. And I thought, I can't start it a third year, although I love Spurgeon. And my wife found me Matthew Henry Daily Devotions. It so blessed me. She got it at the hospice shop. And every morning I wake up with Matthew Henry. I love the dead guys because they're often deeper. Hallelujah. Every morning I wake up with my cup of coffee and Matthew Henry, and it's fantastic. And he enriches my life. I'm feasting on Matthew Henry this whole year. Hallelujah. January's a month on faith. Look at your spiritual diet this year. Say, "Lord, I want to feast on you this year. I want to feast on the Lamb. I don't want my workload to eat up my worship. I want to make time for you. I want to commit to the people of God." Hallelujah. I want to let go of stuff this year, Lord. Bad stuff and good stuff. I want to lay hold of you, Lord Jesus, this year. I want to use my gifts for you this year. I want to lay hold of God this year. I want to spread this great message of the gospel in the city and beyond. Hallelujah. You know what happened to me in December? In December, I was busy with paintbrushes and carpet cleaning and posters and running around the city to all the businesses. And I discovered something, because I'm a pastor and I often just deal with Christians. And I discovered something again. It was so exciting. Everywhere I went, you could see opportunities for the gospel. Everywhere I went, there are needs in the city. It's wonderful. You say, "Well, where have you been the last 18 years? Well, I don't know. Maybe I've been asleep as well. The company that did the posters, the guy that was doing the posters for me, I went into the company. They said, "Oh, he's not here tomorrow." I said, "Where's he tomorrow?" He said, "No, his little girl's sick. She's in hospital." So I phoned him. I said, "What's wrong with your little girl?" He told me. I said, he's not a Christian. I said, "Can we put you on our prayer chain to pray for your daughter?" He said, "Prayer chain?" I said, "Yeah, people in the church pray for people when they have needs, when they're sick." He said, "Man, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much. Wow." When I came to pick up the posters, he said, "I've given you a discount on your posters." He loved us so much. We've invited quite a few of the guys to come to our opening next Sunday as well. Folks, this city, there's opportunities everywhere for the gospel. Just need to open your eyes. Say, come on, we're on a journey with Jesus. Where are you going? Well, we don't know. He's going to show us. We're following the cloud. We're following the pillar of fire. It's part of the gospel journey. Come and join us. Come and be with us. It's so exciting. Wherever we go, there are opportunities. People that have no hope. People that are just waking up. What's today? Monday. I've got to work on Monday. Nothing beyond that. Oh, it's Friday. It's weekend. Hallelujah. No, no, no. We have a destiny. And God is taking us somewhere. Hallelujah. And we're part of that. And it's so exciting. And God wants all of us to be part of that. We need you to come on board with your gifts. So I've got a part to play. This is what I can do. Let's reach the city with the gospel. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus doesn't just deliver you in Egypt. It gets you out of Egypt, gets you moving. There's going to be some big changes this year. in this church as well, as God moves us around. I just have such a sense of that. And part of the movement is also giving some folk a chance to have a rest. Louise is going to go on sabbatical this year. Louise has really served this church and Vanna in such an amazing way for 15 years. We're going to give her a rest. Louise is going to take 2.5 months off. And Susan's been playing an excellent job. And Makosi's going to come in for a couple of months and just help us as well. Sometimes we need to give folk a rest to come back with fresh energy as well. God's going to add folk to us this year. God's going to raise up folk amongst us this year with ministries and gifting. Visitors, please feel free. Jump in right at the beginning. We need your gifts. We need you. Hallelujah. We're on a journey. God is with us. The blood of Jesus gets you moving. And it's so exciting. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much this morning. Lord, that you've stepped into our lives. And you've changed us, Lord Jesus. And thank you, the blood of Jesus does truly get us moving, Lord. And Father, I pray this morning as a congregation that you would help us to follow the cloud of your Spirit this year. And that pillar of fire. To feed on the Lamb. And to follow you where you lead us this year. In Jesus' name we pray. We look to you, Lord.